Thank you for listening to the Gateway to the Rockies podcast from Visit Aurora, from the rafters of the Stanley Marketplace. This is the show dedicated to telling the stories of Aurora, Colorado. Hi there, I'm Dave, the Senior Marketing Manager for Visit Aurora. Dean Copeland is here, one of the owners of CD Wings, which just opened up. Welcome, Dean.
Howdy, howdy. Thank you for having me.
Twin locations opening up and twin babies. How are you getting any sleep whatsoever right now?
What is sleep? And yes, yeah, two twins, was blessed with twins in December, and we wanted to have both the restaurants open last year, but there was a long list of fun things that happened before we can do any of that. One was twins. I tore my Achilles.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. It was a journey for sure.
A trying 2023, but
no question about it.
Every rehab going well?
Yes. So I'm, I'm still married, so I was able to get walking by the time the twins were born. I think that was a criteria for me to stay married to my wife, to be able to hold the car seats on the way from the hospital.
I have a feeling like the level of empathy versus annoyance was a little off when, you know, she's pregnant with twins and here you are hobbled yourself. That had to have been a fun dynamic.
Yeah, it was a week before we moved.
Oh, wow.
My wife, God bless her, she has moved me 5 times.
Wow.
Without me either being there or not being able to coordinate it. And this was the 5th. And she just said, did you do this on purpose in order not to have to help move? So this is the next time we move, she's not going to have anything to do with it. I'm going to have to do it on my own, I'm sure.
Those moves related to your career, I imagine. You're no stranger to the culinary world, along with helping to open other restaurants in the metro area. You spent years working for a major wing chain in the Southeast. How did that experience arm you to help you own your own restaurant?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just gets to the point where, you just learn a wealth of knowledge from just knowledgeable people. I mean, you know, most of these corporate franchises are, just a collective of a bunch of brains that come from other quick service, you know, full service, limited service restaurants, gas stations, and then they just kind of apply things that they learn there into a different concept. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I learned a wealth of knowledge, and just got to the point where I said, you know what, if I'm making money for somebody else, you know, who's to say I can't do it for myself?
Is it one of those experiences where you see maybe the inefficiencies or the maybe limitations of scale, where you say, you know, I can do this slightly better if it's under my own, I guess, vision? Is that kind of how that works?
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. I mean, there's a couple items that you say, you know what, this is, you know, I wouldn't do it this way. Yeah. One of the things that, you know, I can give you an example of is fresh cut fries.
Yeah.
Early on, one of the restaurant chain was able to get into a football stadium, and they didn't do it because they couldn't cut their fries fresh. And okay. I was like, okay, yes, you know, that, you know, has a novelty to it. But in order to get, you know, your food, you know, to tens of thousands of people, you know, half of the year, I think they'll deal with, you know, frozen fries.
Especially if it's just one location like that.
Literally. So, but they turned it down.
Yeah.
And it was a huge, huge stadium. And I was just like, I don't understand the philosophy behind that. But, you know, I wasn't high enough to be able to move the needle on that. And, you know, once you get to the point where you're looking at things for yourself, we already looked at P-mixes. We already looked at, what was selling, what was moving in the stores in general, just because we were corporate. But, you know, knowing that, you know, things were regional, that was, you know, some things that weren't looked at, you know, where, you know, when you're in New Mexico, you know, green chili is king.
Yep.
So you have a McDonald's down there, and guess what they have on their hamburgers? They have green chili. When you're in Chesapeake Bay, you know, they're going to have Old Bay seasoning on their wings. And those are the things you have to adjust to. And I think that, you know, when you're a large corporation, a lot of that doesn't come into consideration a lot of the times.
The brand CD's Wings has a lot of equity in the Denver metro area, and it's expanded into Aurora, it's expanding into Parker. What kind of sets CD's Wings apart from other wing restaurants in the metro area?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to CD's Wings, the owners, Ryan and Digger and myself, we had a similar philosophy when I first met them before we partnered up, which is cooking wings to order. It's going to take a little bit more time, but it it absolutely adds to the flavor of the wing. And, you know, overcooking a wing, I mean, I'm a chicken nerd. I can, you know, I can look at a chicken bone after I took a bite out of it and tell if it was frozen or not previously. I can tell if they're pre-cooked and par-cooked and all, you know, I can nerd out. My wife doesn't like that either. But as far as a fresh cooked chicken wing, you know, that typically takes about 13 minutes to cook. That's one reason. And the other one, we don't do the super jumbos. We do the medium sized birds.
Okay.
So that gives them a little extra crisp on the outside and a little better flavor profile versus the kind of chewy roasted flavor that you get when you get the super, super jumbos.
Makes sense. The ratio to seasoning and protein is probably off with those jumbo wings, despite maybe a visual appeal, the actual experience isn't as good.
Exactly. Bigger isn't always better, especially when it comes to chicken wings. If you want a bigger chicken wing, I would say I wouldn't even go for a white meat, you know, chicken wing. I would just get a drumstick.
Right.
is what I personally would do. And you know, we've done that, you know, testing out in the Aurora location, and in Parker we have a thigh product. So we have we're calling it a thwang. And it's nice. And it's a thigh that heats like a wing.
You've touched on this a little bit. You know, a lot of restaurants serve wings, and to be frank, a lot of restaurants don't do it well. Without giving up your secrets, and you've given us a little bit of the insights, but fundamentally, what are the keys to a great wing?
Keys to a great wing is, I mean, you don't want to over-season it. You don't want to over-sauce it. You definitely want to have a variety of sauces. And that, you know, that ranges from something that's really hot. That ranges from dry rubs. You know, you have your traditional buffalo that, you know, is probably one of my favorites. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's getting into the flavor profile of that sauce. And, you know, when you're cooking the order like that with the chicken, you know, you'll be able to highlight that sauce a little more. I mean, there's one huge chain that has a lot of commercials that are running right now. You know, I love their flavors, but, you know, the quality of their chicken when it's cooked is, you know, and I know why, but it's just not up to par every time that you get it. So
are you talking about the one that had the commercial every 5 seconds during the basketball tournament?
1,000%.
If I hear Ray Sherman one more time, I promise you.
No, not even that one. I'm talking about the other
one. Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
The yellow one.
Yes.
Okay.
The one that spent a bunch of money on commercials. That one. That guy.
So you just opened up a new location in Aurora. It was amazing grand opening celebration. Could you share some of the insights behind the decision-making process of choosing Aurora for one of your new locations?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm from Denver. So, you know, I grew up in Park Hill, you know, growing up in Denver, and then, you know, I finished high school in Aurora. I graduated from Aurora High or Overland High School.
Okay.
So, you know, I didn't think I would ever move back to Colorado because of how expensive it is up here. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I convinced my wife, who's from California, to move out here when we were on, you know, the southeastern tour of the United States for 5 years. But when I got here, Aurora was a great location to have it. A lot has to do with the growth, you know, capacity that is, you know, Arapahoe County, Douglas County, you know, Denver. Yes, I'm from here, but I don't think it welcomes restaurant tours as well as it does as Aurora. So, you know, my first option was to come into Denver, and, you know, it was more attractive to be in Aurora.
The grand opening featured a lot of fun for the community, free food. There was a contest, prizes. It was a real party. Why is the community outreach aspect so important to you and the co-owners of CD Wings?
Well, I mean, this goes back to Digger and Ryan. I mean, with what they've built in Westminster, and, you know, the outreach that they have with the community, the giving back to the community that they do is, you know, it's just not done necessarily. I mean, with, you know, the corporate, you know, restaurant chain that I came from, you know, they did a lot of community outreach, and, you know, they, you know, a lot of it was great.
Yeah.
But that spans across the whole country. With, you know, CDs, they were local, hyper local. I mean, they support high schools in their area. They support, you know, martial artists in their area. They support hockey teams in their area. They support so much that is right there, And I mean, it's just a great fit to do that in your community. I mean, they definitely are your stakeholders. They're going to come in. They're going to preach your praise or not, you know, depending on what kind of product you're putting out there. However, when it comes to being hyper local like that, I mean, being able to support the people that are going to come in and spend their money with you, it's just a no-brainer to me. But, you know, it was a continuation of what Ryan and Digger built.
As the restaurant expands to more locations, I imagine you had discussions about, you know, a fear of quality slippage. Some restaurants navigate that really well, others not so much. What's the strategy to kind of maintain the same level of quality and customer service with the expansion to multiple locations?
Yes, I mean, that's key, right? I'm having that consistency. When I was with that other chain, I mean, I had 138 stores that I had to visit once a quarter. Mm. So, I mean, I was, you know, I saw a lot of stores and I would eat at less than 5% of them. And, you know, that had to do with, you know, their adhering to the standard operating procedures, not adhering to it and not taking care of their oil, you know, little things like that. That, you know, that I know about that, you know, the average consumer doesn't know about. They just go somewhere and they say, well, that one over there is not as good as this one over here. And, you know, when, you know, Ryan Digger and I, when we first discussed it, it was just like, we have to keep this, you know, same consistency when it comes to that. And, you know, that's, you know, if we happen, because we're smaller, if we happen to not have a flavor that they have, it's understandable because we're a smaller location that doesn't have the same volume as them. But that was the main key of saying, hey, you know what? If I go to Westminster and I get a 10 piece, it's going to be the same quality. It's going to be the same flavor profile that I can get in Aurora or in when Parker opens in Parker. So, you know, with the Aurora location, we opened up, you know, the week of Thanksgiving. It was a very slow roll, soft opening. We took over a space that was a very, very poor design kitchen. Mm. And so, you know, kind of working out those kinks to where we didn't open up the floodgates for the potential of, you know, people knowing what CDs was or introducing CDs to people that didn't know what it was. We didn't want to have any of those hiccups or kinks, you know, early on. So we kind of slow rolled it into knowing, okay, well, now this is what we're capable of. This is what the kitchen can do. Now let's kind of, that's when we did the ribbon cutting and the giveaway to kind of say, okay, now we're ready for the, you know, for the neighborhood to welcome us, you know, with confidence to know that they'll get the same consistency as the location in Westminster.
I imagine a big part of that is making sure that you staff correctly, find people who understand the vision and understand kind of the motivation.
Yes.
How important is that first interaction with the restaurant? I imagine that's kind of where you win customers for life. If you don't have a good initial interaction, you know, it's tough to recover from that. So it's probably pertinent that first interaction is the absolute best it can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything in life, right? I mean, you know, when you meet your significant other, you're not going to say, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to say, well, you know, this person, I said hello to this person, they ignored me, you know, they weren't presented properly, they didn't know what, you know, when I was asking questions, they didn't have answers to the questions. You know, you're not going to necessarily give that person a second chance.
Right.
It's the same thing with restaurants. I mean, you know, the first person you see is that cashier, you know, how they greet, how they interact, how they recommend is key. And it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, forgivability when it comes to, you know, food when it comes to the people aspect of it. You know, you can have the best food in the world and, you know, to look back at Seinfeld, the soup Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, had the best soup, but, you know, the poor customer service. And, you know, it works on Seinfeld, but in the real world, that doesn't work.
Right.
You're going to have to engage the guests. You're going to have to, you know, if they ask a million questions because they've never been there before, you're going to have to be able to navigate that. Yeah. And give them the experience so that they say, oh, the next time I come in, they already know, hey, you know, I'm getting extra crispy. I'm getting it swimming. You know, we call it the education. When you educate that guest and they're able to go online and know exactly how to order it the way that they do in the store, then you've done your job. You've given them the education on what to do in your restaurant and how to do it the best experience for them.
The original location in Westminster recently celebrated its 6th anniversary. And of course, we went through an entire pandemic and a much publicized wing shortage during that time.
Yes.
How did CD's survive that time and not only come out of it, but come out of it ready to expand?
Well, it's crazy. I mean, Digger and Ryan, Salt of Earth people. I mean, they have a wonderful, wonderful story. I mean, Digger, you know, he's been there for, you know, almost 20 years in, you know, CDs. I mean, this is his lifeblood. He's been there, you know, since high school. So, you know, knowing that he wanted to, you know, he wanted this to succeed. I mean, this is, you know, he's had it since 2007. And, you know, the pandemic, they kind of, just before the pandemic, they grew into a larger location from what they were to, you know, a location that was about 2,000, from 1,200 square feet to about 2,000 square feet. They ramped up their sales, and then pandemic happens. And the crazy part about that is, they grew during the pandemic because of the social distancing. They needed more space for people to dine there because, I mean, the following that they have in Westminster is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the restaurant groups that I've worked for, corporations I work for, I've never seen anything like that they have in a limited service restaurant. I've seen it in full service. I've never seen anything like that in quick service. But they doubled in size during the pandemic.
Wow.
And you know, with curbside, and they were just set up logistically to be able to service that neighborhood, because I mean, there weren't a lot of people that were open. There weren't a lot of people that were pumping out high quality food. There weren't a lot of people that were staffed enough to be able to accommodate, you know, during the pandemic. And CD's absolutely, you know, logistically were prepared for it, and they showed improved. And, you know, once they came out of it on top of the pandemic, you know, most restaurant groups kind of had to regroup and, you know, figure out their footing. There's a few concepts that, you know, they were already set up for it. And CD's was one of them. And they weren't even doing delivery, which is mind boggling to be able to, you know, come out of the pandemic without delivery and being able to supply that whole neighborhood the way that they did.
Restaurants in particular seemed poignantly impacted by the pandemic time.
Mm-hmm.
Many didn't survive. Many had to adapt and change. What kind of lessons did you take personally, not only as a professional in the culinary world, but personally from that time?
Well, I always use sports analogies. It's just like, you know, playing basketball. When I played basketball, there were teams that sat back in zones, and you couldn't run the same offense when they were sitting back in the zone. You couldn't run the
unless
same
you had shooters on the perimeter and you get the ball to the big man in the middle of the key. Sorry,
kick out. No, you got to kick out. But it's, you know, it just comes down to being able to adjust and adapt to what is thrown in front of you, right? The pandemic, you know, it showed a lot of older brands that didn't want to pivot, that thought they were bigger than everybody else and they can do whatever they want to do. That's not the case. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to evolve. And I think that a lot of the restaurants, you know, there's a lot of restaurants in, you know, in Denver that never recovered from it. They're gone. And these are, you know, iconic restaurants that, you know, that I was a fan of growing up and, you know, in you know, my early adulthood, and, you know, they're gone forever. And that a lot of that is not being able to pivot. And a lot of that is not being able to be set up for, you know, what the pandemic was. It changed a lot of things in general in the food scene. You know, when you have people that are used to going out to eat for fine dining, and then all of a sudden they don't have that, you know, they're at the house and they have nothing but time. What are they going to do? They're going to learn how to cook. And so they're looking at, well, you know, can I get a local butcher that's going to give me some good cuts of meat?
Yeah.
Can I cook some fish? This is how I do this. They're going to get some higher quality alcohols and bourbons and gins. And they're starting to figure out how to make cocktails at home. And they're saying, hey, you know, I can be in my bubble with my neighbors and I can do the same thing socially versus going to the bar and spending, you know, $200. I can take that same $200 and I can have a party with my neighbors and friends. So now you have to, as a restaurateur, now you have to figure out, how can I get those people back in? Because now their palate has increased, their expectation has mm-hmm. has differed. So how do you capture those sales? Because I mean, there's a lot of choices out there.
So it's almost like starting from scratch to a degree, unless you have that brand equity that a business like CD's Wings has built, particularly in Westminster, and is now building in Aurora.
1,000%.
2023, CD's Wings won first place as the judge's choice at Chicken Fight Fest.
Yes.
And obviously you do it to please customers, but that had to have been cool. What did it mean to the team, and did you see an uptick in traffic after that?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. I mean, CD's Wings, it was a slow roll. I mean, they didn't do much marketing when it came to, the following that they have. I mean, that was just mostly off local support. So going to Chicken Fight, you had a lot of people that were familiar with CD's, but it was tremendous. Because it was judge's choice, mm-hmm. so it was a blind taste, that speaks volumes, because it wasn't a popularity contest. It was purely based on taste. So that was great.
Beyond the awards, you see glowing reviews of CD's Wings anywhere you look. And as a business owner, you place your passion, blood, sweat, and tears, along with your livelihood, into your work. And you get confirmation of that through online reviews. Of course, inevitably, there are some people who are never happy leave a negative review.
Yeah.
Sometimes the reviews are unreasonable or an overreaction. I'm curious how you approach that, because these reviews can have a real effect on your business.
Yes.
Do you take those reviews to heart? Do you feel a knee-jerk desire to clap back or then have to hold back? Or are you able to let that roll off?
No. I look at it as, any feedback is good feedback. There's three sides to every story. And I always say, believe all three sides, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. One of the biggest things when I worked for the large corporation, ranch being left out of the bag was one of the biggest complaints. And, a lot of times it was in there. It was just hidden on the side next to the napkins or whatever. But I would always tell people, just give them another ranch. It's if somebody comes up and say you didn't, give them a ranch, it was, I was more worried about you over saucing a wing than I was about you giving a ranch to the guest.
Yeah.
And, it comes down to, yes, you'll have some outlandish, reviews on something or, opinions on something. But I always just say, everything isn't for everybody. Right. And if somebody, was mad because our chicken isn't breaded, that is a preference, and there's nothing I can do to that, because we're not going to bread our chicken.
Right.
So all I can do is just say, hey, I'm sorry, this wasn't for you. You can refund them. There's no reason to get nasty with people and go back and forth. I learned that, when I was a kid working the door, downtown at Lotto's and Chapultepec and all those places. Mm-hmm. It's 9 times out of 10, it's not even worth it to go back and forth. You just believe them, give them their money back, and move on. So it's just a matter of, trying to make right what they feel was wrong is what my philosophy is.
That feedback is very low. I mean, you're averaging, I think, like a 4.7, 4.8, something like that on Google. So mm-hmm. people love the restaurant, absolutely. You're a Black entrepreneur, which historically comes with entire layers of systemic obstacles.
Right.
To what degree, if any, has your identity played into your drive as a business person?
In all honesty, I mean, it's just... It's just taught me just to persevere and, take things with a grain of salt. I mean, there's millions of things that, that I could be doing. Initially I thought I wanted to, climb the corporate ladder and do what I had to do to get to that level. And, I was surely on track to be able to do that. However, things in life change. I got married, and, when you're married and you're traveling, 3 out of 6 weeks, that's not very healthy, especially when you're living in the Southeast and your wife doesn't really necessarily know a lot of people out there. And it's just something in me, kind of changed and just made me want to, leave, some kind of legacy for, my family, my children. And, when you talk about that systemically, I mean, that is just something that is not really necessarily thought about. In the Black community necessarily all the time is figuring out how to leave a legacy for your children, especially here in Colorado.
with the expansion, are the menus going to be any different? Are there going to be any special or unique offerings in the Aurora and the upcoming Parker locations?
The only difference is that we have, I mean, we have the same sauces. We use the same chicken purveyors, and you know, we have conversations. At least once a week sometimes. In Aurora, we actually are doing a lot more lunch business that we didn't expect. So with Regis High School being right up the street, Grandview being right up the street, we changed, or I shouldn't say changed, we added some menu items for lunch so that we're able to cut out that 20-minute cook time with a bone-in product. And we have express lunch now. So we have a lunch menu on there that we can get you out in 10 minutes. And so that helped a lot with the high school kids coming over, being able to come in and get their food pretty quick. So a lot of them are just ordering online while they're on their way over. And then by the time they get there, you know, we're handing them a bag so that they can go eat their lunch.
Curious about the creative side of the business. What kind of goes into, you know, inspiring, you know, the signature sauces like the hot garlic and the house sauce?
I could not take credit for the sauces. That is all Digger, Ryan, and their staff. I mean, over these past, you know, 19 years, they've been, concocting sauces, which has been, you know, great to hear some of the stories, you know, with the house sauce being, you know, something that, a couple of their cooks just started putting together. And, you know, their Digger always jokes about it and said that there's probably 3 or 4 people that say that they made the house sauce. But
a myth, a legend.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's just a concoction of some things. And, you know, it's, you know, in restaurants, we all, you know, they used to joke about it and call it the kitchen sink. But it's all the sauces combined, saying, okay, well, I'm going to see what this tastes like. And, you know, sometimes it tastes great, sometimes it does not. but, you know, that's a credit to them, you know, with what they do. I mean, they run a monthly feature of sauce.
Okay.
And, you know, they bring some back. Some of them will eventually get on the menu. A lot of times, like Notorious BRG, which is Buffalo Ranch Garlic, this is the most popular flavor that we have in Aurora. It just kills in Aurora. But that was another concoction that they made, and it was just a feature that kind of made it to the menu. And after they featured it in Sauce of the Month, I mean, right now, it's a Alabama White barbecue that we're running. And, you know, last month we had the Nashville Hot, which we won at the chicken fight, but they bring it back, you know, once or twice a year, you know, just to get the buzz up on it. And, you know, eventually they probably will make it to the menu permanently. But they do a little bit of research on how popular they are.
Curious about the No One Left Standing sauce.
Yes,
it's known for its extreme heat. Do you know the story behind its creation?
And I do.
And how do you balance flavor and heat in your sauces?
So this was a concoction that Digger ran. There was a local band, No One Left Standing, that they patterned a sauce off of. Digger wanted something that was extremely spicy, but it still had some flavor profile.
Right.
You just didn't want to rip your face off, you know, and then just leave it there just to say that it was, you know, that it was hot. It does have some great flavor to it. And you mix that with the house sauce, and now you have, you know, Uncle Nasty's.
Okay.
So he's, I mean, they're pretty clever when it comes to what they're doing with it. But, you know, we got a top 5 hottest sauce, and that won the number 1 hottest sauce in Denver last year. So it is spicy. I mean, it's not to the point where, you know, you're going to be on, you know, a TV show, you know, trying to see who can eat and who can't.
Right.
But, you know, it's definitely, from a flavor profile, it does have the kick that you need, because, you know, it does use ghost pepper, but it does have flavor to it as well.
I can't help but think of the YouTube show Hot Ones, which is an amazing concept. Sean Evans is an incredible interviewer, and the guests are great. What's your personal perception on that show? Do you like it? Do you appreciate what it does to bring wing profile, or not really?
Well, no, I mean, I don't mind it here or there. I mean, I think that, you know, just in the past year, especially with you touching on the shortage of wings that happened, just showing the awareness of people that want wings. I mean, you know, when I first started, you know, with, you know, in this wing business, and, you know, your demographic was, you know, 16 to 35 males. And that was, you know, that's who they were selling to.
Yeah.
And now you know, that expands to, they didn't think that, you know, that women would want to eat something that had a bone in it.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy, just the research that was happening back then. But, you know, once it gets to the point where, you know, wings and beer go great together, wings and sports go great together. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go to any restaurant and, you know, I'll always order the wings, you know, just to taste them. They can be bad. I don't care. I love chicken. I can eat wings 3 or 4 times a week.
I've got to ask you a very personal question. Some people are very staunch about this. Purists say you can only have blue cheese with a buffalo wing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a blue cheese guy? And is it okay that some people prefer ranch with their wings? Or is that, in your view, sacrilege?
Well, I can have neither because I can't eat mayonnaise. I'm allergic to eggs. So I can't have either one of them.
Okay.
So, but, you know, I sub sour cream instead of mayonnaise.
Okay.
I say it's typically East Coasters are blue cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
tell you if you order ranch, they don't want to hear it.
Oh yeah, and then the Southwest and West tends to be more ranch.
Okay,
but it's pretty close to 70% ranch typically.
Oh, okay.
Our store does a lot more blue cheese than I thought it would do. But yeah, no, the purists say blue cheese. I get it, but the purists also say that, you know, you're only supposed to use Red Hot, which we do. But Red Hot barbecue sauce, or excuse me, Red Hot hot sauce, and yeah, and your margarine or butter, and that's it. That's all you're supposed to use, half and half. But that's what the purists say. So
right.
It just, you know, it just comes down to, you know, there's things that can be built upon and made a different experience, I should say.
I'm sure you don't want to play favorites, but for those who are listening and eager to try CD's wings, what would you recommend as their must-try items on the menu, the must-try flavors, your favorites?
Well, I mean, personally, the Spicy Samurai is one of my favorites, and the Hot Garlic's one of my favorites. There was a dry rub feature that was a balsamic chicken rub. That was one of my favorites as well. But, you know, from a product standpoint, like, you know, I always say mix it up. You know, try the thwang, try the, you know, get your regular wings and also get some of the boneless. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, getting some boneless, meaning, you know, not being as messy with the bone in is I'm fine with. And, you know, when people, you know, talk about, you know, getting a Super Bowl order, or, you know, now we're about to roll into the NBA, you know, playoffs. It's just like, what do I do for a party? I say, do a mix of both. You know, get some bone ins, get some boneless. You know, get them naked, and then get a couple sauces with them, and put the sauces on the side, and decide what you're gonna do, you know, on top of that. And you know, that's, you know, I just did a catering order for a birthday party, and, you know, they did the BRG, the hot garlic, regular buffalo, and the spicy samurai. And, you know, they had boneless and bone in, and, you know, they just had the sauces on the side, and people kind of, you know, decided which ones they liked. It was a good experience.
You're opening Aurora in Corner Star. You got a Parker location coming soon. Where do you see the evolution of CD's Wings?
In the South Metro, I want to see at least 5 in the South Metro, with the same size as, you know, the Aurora location. But yeah, we're already looking at other spots, and if we're able to get an airport, I'm fine with that too.
Dean Copeland, one of the co-owners of CD's Wings. It's lunchtime here, so I think I know exactly where I'm going. Literally, it's been on my list since your PR person presented me with the opportunity to speak with you. I'm really excited to go down there and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Please do.
Thank you so much for the time today. Best of luck to you and your co-owners, and thank you for bringing such a legendary brand to Aurora.
No, absolutely. I appreciate it. You know, thank you, Aurora, for supporting us and soon in Parker, but, you know, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Head to CD's Wings now in Aurora at 6710 South Corner Star Way. You can explore their menu at cdswings.com and follow along on social media at CD's Wings. Thank you for listening to the Gateway to the Rockies podcast. Visit Aurora is the official destination marketing organization for the city of Aurora, Colorado, and acts as the primary liaison between meeting planners and hotel partners. As Aurora's convention and visitors bureau, Visit Aurora's mission is grounded in showcasing Aurora as a premier destination
for meetings, business, and leisure travel. Visit Aurora represents more than 75 plus hotel properties with 13,500 plus guest rooms and more than 1 million square feet of meeting space, including Colorado's largest resort, Gaylord Rockies Resort and Convention Center. As Colorado's third largest city, Aurora is located minutes away from Denver International Airport and showcases mountain views, memorable meeting spaces, and 250 plus international eateries that offer a unique experience for each and every visitor. As the gateway to the Rockies, Visit Aurora's role in the local community goes beyond marketing the city as a destination. The Visit Aurora team is here to assist you with your Colorado visit, from facilitating your meeting, event, or convention to helping you discover local flavor and attractions. Go beyond the boardroom in Aurora, Colorado. For more, visit us at visitaurora.com.